What kind of advice do you give to someone that's thinking about starting a business or new into starting a business?
Yeah, and it's, again, you got to have the passion, right? And more importantly, you got to be very, very good at time management, but you got to have the passion to do it. You got to really, really nail down these days your time, right?
Yes.
And you're going to, and it's going to take probably a good, you know, I would say any business these days is going to be at least 2 to 4 years before mm-hmm. you don't have the pain any longer. And
it's hard to be patient through that.
It is. It is.
I've spent the last 8 years embedded in our local business landscape, and I've learned one thing. Facts only tell half the story. I'm Ann Donnelly. Join me for an intimate look at the minds of the innovators and leaders shaping our region. From the North Country Media Network, upstate New York's voices of authority, this is Building Success Stories. I'm here today with Kevin O'Brien of Tech First Insurance Agency. I'm very excited to be talking to Kevin because when they started Tech First, it's like a new, innovative, technology-driven insurance company.
Yes, ma'am.
But Kevin, you've got years of experience in the insurance industry. Like, you started out, tell us.
Yeah, so started out after, you know, SUNY Adirondack back in the day was ACC, then transferred over to Brockport State, and then coming out of Brockport State, was hired by Travelers down in Albany. So I was with them probably 9 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, was jumped over to the family agency, O'Brien Insurance.
So your dad was in the business.
Yeah, he started the business in 1957. When I joined in, 97, 98, my brother John was there, so joined the family business. And then in 2015, I moved over to Glens Falls National Bank, consolidated their 4 or 5 family agencies that they had purchased in the insurance world, right? So I consolidated that. We wanted to have a one name, one brand. So that happened. That took about a year and a half with, New York State Insurance Department getting all the approvals, all that kind of good stuff. And then recently in 2023, just left the bank, right? Moved on to start my own business, which again, Tech First Insurance Agency. The whole deal with that name is simply that we want it, again, more consumer friendly, right? Because there's more tools out there, whether it's, again, your iPhone or, again, tablets these days, just to make it, again, easier for the customer. Because ultimately, it's the customer experience, client experience that we're measuring and making sure that, you know, you're buying a product. Do you know what that product is actually doing for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's it. And, now in the insurance industry, there's more and more tools that I can display and help the client that just really needs to be educated as to you're buying a contract. The contract, remember, is written by and documented by the insurance company, Travelers Insurance, Peerless Insurance. Mm-hmm. And you just, our whole job as an independent insurance agent is to explain you have risks. Right. And we want to match the insurance carrier that has the right set of, insurance documents that protects your risk, but also comes in at a comfortable premium. It's the, in an independent agent, I've got access to probably 12 to 15 different carriers that I can align what you need with, again, the right coverage stack and also definitely the right pricing.
Yeah. Because that's the big thing, is balancing out how much coverage you really need versus the premium that you can afford to pay or are willing to pay,
because
I think a lot of people are thinking, I'm paying all this for insurance. I'm never going to use it.
Right.
But you got to have it.
Oh, yeah.
And what types of insurance do you do? All types?
Yeah. The only thing I'm not licensed to do is life insurance.
Okay.
Right. And also health insurance. So what we call property casualty, which again could be your personal auto and home, your snowmobile, umbrella, and then of course into the business world, which we call commercial, right? And that's just, again, any business related conglomerate or just entity. And the basics for both of those different buckets are liability and property or property damage, right? So again, at this office, we have liability in case someone trips or falls coming up the stairs. And again, we have coverage in case there's a puff back from the HVAC, so mm-hmm. we can clean up the walls or a fire. But more importantly, these days, especially in the business space, the commercial space, mm-hmm. it's the hot topic these days is cyber.
Yeah.
Right. And cyber, you know, hacks, again, what, you know, every customer, every client, you know, needs to know is that when someone's dialing in for dollars, you know, in their hacking machine, they don't know the name of the business, right? They're just looking at your code that's in the internet. And so whether it's somebody from, you know, Texas or somebody from Ohio or somebody from, you know, Tanzania or Pakistan, they're just pushing numbers mm-hmm. and they're just basically knocking on your door
to see if they can get in.
Right. It's a physical door and it just happens to be what we call a port. And if you don't have that port locked down, they're kind of come in. And again, it could be, you know, a business that their revenue is $150,000 to a business that's, you know, the revenue is $20 million. The hacker doesn't care, doesn't know, right?
They're just looking for vulnerability.
They're just looking for vulnerability, as you said, to get into and grab control of your computer system, right? And then they'll send you, or they'll lock it up. They'll send you, you know, I need 2 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Right, or something like that, and I'll give it back to you. So, you know, the industry, the insurance industry has gotten better and better probably the last 5 or 6 years at getting the right tools in the cyber insurance coverage. Right.
Yeah.
That contract
yeah.
has really been beefed up with you know, tools that will help you pay the Bitcoin, tools on, again, the reputational risk is the biggest one that I point out mm-hmm. to all my prospects and clients, is that, you know, your reputation is, again, it's hard to put a value in that.
Yeah.
Right. You've been around 2 years, you've been around 50 years. And, you know, the contract will pay for, again, to put your computer back together again, new software, all that kind of good stuff. But the bigger thing you want to remember is that, you know, you don't want the microphone from Mark Mulholland, you know, in front
yes,
of you.
Yes, right.
The owner.
We've been hacked.
Exactly, right. So the insurance policy provides, you know, a marketing team, right, mm-hmm. that will say, hey, nothing happened. Just move on. Go
yep.
to someone else.
Yep.
And you see it all the time where, hey, yep, we got hacked, but nothing to be seen. We're working through it. And so that is the marketing specialist.
So you help in other ways than just paying off.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. To remember is that when there's a hack, right, and it's a claim, right? So you report the claim. It's if you try and compare the cyber hack to, again, you know, this room getting fire damage, right? You come in here, you take the sheetrock down, you put it together, and within a week, right, or 3 days, you're back in business.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with the cyber.
Yeah.
Right? Because, again, you got to report it to New York State. You have to start giving the credit reports to all that. All of your vendors, so you got your clients, but then you have your vendors that you're working with. Their information's been compromised,
yeah.
right? Because they have it now. So then what happens is their insurance company, right? The vendor's insurance company will help them. That vendor insurance carrier will come back to the client that got hacked to say, look, we just paid out $60,000 to clean up that one person and that one entity. Now we want that $60,000 from your cyber insurance policy, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting subrogated against to get back.
So it's insurance company to insurance company.
Yeah.
It's quite involved.
It is.
So you need a company
yes.
that is well-versed in all of those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, we're in Glens Falls, New York, right? So we're in the Adirondacks. So again, the area wants to have a face-to-face,
yeah.
right? And definitely, you know, I do Zooms, but remember, it's a contract that you're entering into that you didn't make up that contract,
yeah.
right? So whenever you don't make up the contract and generate the contract, it's not in your favor, right?
Yeah.
So that's where, again, exclusions come into the contract of certain things. And again, we go through and we talk through what your risks have, whether you have young drivers, whether you have a jet ski, you know, whether you have a zip line in your back, in mm-hmm. back of your house.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways to protect that. Yes, there's an extra cost to that, but the contract can be deviated and changed to cover your risks.
Yeah.
Right. And that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, it's a great, I'll say service, but again, a great field to get into if you care about people and you want to do the right thing, mm-hmm. Then insurance is just like, accounting and perfect in the middle space.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like a partner that a business needs.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no business now that doesn't have a technology aspect to it and a cybersecurity need. Yeah. Like a lot of my listeners are solopreneurs, small business owners, and they might be thinking, nobody's going to hack me. But like you said, they're just out there looking for vulnerability.
Correct. Right. And they're just dialing for dollars is realistically what they're doing. And it's interesting because, again, I've been on the startup ADK program at SUNY, ACC. And again, those are all new entrepreneurs. And, one of my spiels with them is, look, you're always, when you start your business, you want to have an attorney and you have a lawyer, right? But in addition to that, you need to have, an insurance person and probably an HR person just to, the HR is not going to run it, but it's another resource that a new business needs to know how to maneuver in again, both in the insurance world, but also in hiring people, right? And what that entails.
And insurance touches on so many different aspects of it, like liability insurance, and errors and omissions. I think that it's important that you're offering this wide range of different types of coverage and
And just the historical thing, looking back, is again, as an independent agent, right, I have access to multiple insurance carriers as opposed to a State Farm or Allstate. Yeah. They have just have one set of rates.
Yeah.
So, that's good, bad, or indifferent. Moving forward, when my hair gets grayer, and I want to retire, the retirement plan in the independent agent system is to, again, sell to my kids or sell to my friend or something like that, and the book of business goes over. So a number of years ago, probably going back about 20 years ago, the private equity space, so Wall Street, got into the independent agent system because in their mind, it's a recurring revenue. It's an annuity, right? We're paying premiums. Mm-hmm. And so in this space, right, from, again, Saratoga, and it's all over, the country. But in this space, we, quote unquote, had probably 5 to 7 family-run agencies over the last 6 years retired.
Yeah.
Right? And that retirement plan was, was, again, picked up by a private equity firm. And the private equity, process is, again, they're looking to, again, make sure they get their investment, but also, the service model is different.
Because how do they run it?
Correct.
If they're not insurance people.
They're not. Right. So they hire insurance people, right? But again, those handcuffs are there by saying, look, we've got your client listing and we see that the top 20%, right, of your revenue clients, they are driving, the
Pareto principle.
Correct. Exactly. Right. So then the 80%, again, don't get the love, right, that they're used to with the family, with the prior family.
So right. You're not getting that personal.
No.
And they're not as invested.
Correct.
Because they're not owner.
Yes. Yep. And again, they're here locally, but most of them have not been locally. And again, that's just economics, right? When you consolidate their savings, private equity, those investors want to make sure they get the return on their money. Mm-hmm. So again, that's where the opportunity now is to, let folks know that have been in other agencies that, look, there are, there's probably 3 or 4 of us in the Glens Falls area that continue to be independent agents that are carving their own course. And we do like to come to your house. We do like to help you with your claim, right? We don't really want you talking to a claim adjuster other than reporting it because, again, things happen. So therefore, we're well entrenched in, people's lives and activities because we have to be. Because, again, the end of the day is a check needs to be cut, right, for that. And again, do you want an AI check or do you want a check coming from a person? Right, eventually, that's what
the money is money.
Is.
But when it comes to certain things, you'd rather want to deal with a person, probably a local person that you know. Because a lot of times when something happens, it's traumatic.
Definitely.
You know, yes. And it's, you know, a car accident, damage to your home.
Yes.
Or a hacking.
Yes.
Hacking is like very traumatizing.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people just don't understand like how it happened and, you know, you've been intruded upon.
Right. And it's a why me.
Yeah.
Right.
And what did I do? I didn't
correct.
Do this.
Again, everybody just has to understand if you've got a computer, again, the person on the other line that's knocking on your door, the port, you know, is nothing personal. They're just rolling for dollars. Right.
Yeah.
That's the technique. But again, you do have abilities to protect yourself with the right coverages, you know, because at least in New York State, you know, once you get hacked, you've got to notify New York State.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have to start all the process and send out the free credit reports and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff that mm-hmm. comes through there. So definitely the one-on-one or the local flavor, that's what the independent agent channel has always been about.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to grow. Met with somebody a couple weeks ago that's just getting into it. It was with a big agency and they want to start their own business. So, you know, they're looking for me to mentor them and to, you know, show them, you know, again, the ropes. They've done it on their own, but they just want to have, you know, a phone call to say, hey, look, mm-hmm. really, should I be writing this kind of client or is it too risky?
So you're helping other insurance.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That's great.
It's a great industry to get in.
Yeah.
Right. Because again, especially in the North Country, right? It's this one-on-one that this culture wants, right? I mean, I love when I'm going from, you know, from Warrensburg up to Plattsburgh. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just the greatest people and that kind of stuff. And usually when I'm, you know, in Stewart's or whatever like that, I've got a tie on and someone, I'll be waiting in line or they'll say, now, are you a police officer? I say, no, I'm worse than a police officer.
You're in a Stewart's with a tie on, people think you're a cop.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, during COVID when I was, it was
That's
always
so funny.
Yeah, it was always that way. Because again, nobody wears ties these days, right? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, no, that was a discussion I had in some networking meeting about
you?
Do men need to wear ties anymore?
Correct. So, you know, I mean, I probably do it two or three times a week or something like that. But again, it's, you know, it's an icebreaker.
Yeah.
Right. At Stewart's, it's like, hey, you know, and so it's a conversation. And, you know, again, I'm a marketing person at, you know, in the center of me, mm-hmm. but I just happen to be selling insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I could do anything else. But again, insurance is it's stickiness. It's, you know, it's again, doing the right thing for, you know, your client, your neighbor, your whatever. And that's really what, you know, really makes me continue to do what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah. But your skills go beyond insurance because like you were talking about when you were with Glens Falls National and they started up upstate, right? It's upstate.
Yeah. What we did is there were.
So really got that started.
The
like
consolidation, the bank had purchased those. And they just wanted to have, again, the branding be one, but mm-hmm. also just one insurance person bringing the 75 mm-hmm. people together.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, we consolidated it. It took a little bit with New York State mm-hmm. with all their stuff. But coming out of that, you know, it was a growing entity and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, it was just tough during COVID, but got through that. And again, I think definitely in the North Country, most customers or even prospects appreciated that we were, you know, going out and knocking on doors and just saying, hey, mm-hmm. you had a fire. Let me just go and see, make sure that everything is right so that, you know, you get the right check and all that.
Mm-hmm. So when you're with Travelers, people know Travelers, especially in Glens Falls,
because
there's a big, huge building with a Travelers logo formerly, that building. And upstate, mainly because if they're doing banking with Glens Falls National, now Aero, things change so much, right? You've seen all this change over the years. And I'm assuming you're closer to retirement age like myself, but you're starting a new business.
Yes.
So what drove you to like, let's start something new?
Just because, again, you know, it's Kevin. And does Kevin stuff. It's just, I can't sit around and just look at the corner, mm-hmm. watch Oprah or something like that. I mean, my family knows that I'm just going, you know, 24/7 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, you know, at you know, in our stage of whatever, just don't want to have Alzheimer's. That's the biggest
thing. Keep the mind working. But then getting into technology, which our generation is, but I defer because I'm a very technical type person. Yes. So we're the exceptions to the rule, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not so much so, because everyone needs to be technology minded.
And again, I think I embrace it. There's mm-hmm. some people that again, and it's interesting, my older clients, you know, there's again, because of the grandchildren, right? They mm-hmm. they know how to do online banking or online payments and on the phone, all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. it's definitely getting, again, technology is not so much of a hurdle as it was, say, 10, 15 years ago, right? And the computers are much smaller, they're tablets and not just big old.
Yeah, phone is a very powerful computer.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And that's, you know, that again gets back into cyber, but also gets into insurance. And you just got to know, you know, that, you know, like there's a couple carriers that on the automobile insurance, the personal mm-hmm. auto, that if you put an app on your phone, they will track, right? And give you a lower rate. Sometimes New York State approves that because that's, you know, remember, mm-hmm. just always remember that the insurance industry is regulated by each state.
Yeah.
Right. So New York's different than Vermont, then different from New Hampshire, then different from Ohio.
Yeah.
So when you see the ads on TV, right, that are countrywide, and they talk about getting this app on your phone mm-hmm. to give you a lower auto rate, that's not been approved in New York State.
Oh, really?
Right.
I didn't know that.
There's some devices that are, mm-hmm. but there are some carriers that are bringing more, I guess I'll call it, different technology that New York State
hasn't approved yet.
I mean, eventually it will, because
it's good to know.
Right, because it'll be different states are getting in, so they'll be pressured. But again, the regulations, you know, are steep. And you know, again, I'm sure everybody's been seeing all the stuff that Governor Hochul, you know, wants to, again, bring down the cost of insurance. Mm-hmm. And that's a fair argument, not so much argument, but decision. And a lot of it is there is some scamming and some in your claims, right? There's a lot of fraud that goes in there.
Yeah.
And you know, between, you know, Governor Hochul and all the insurance companies, they're mm-hmm. trying to, again, you know, get rid of the fraud and excess.
Yeah.
So again.
So fraud by clients?
Yeah, it's fraud by clients. It's fraud by, again, other perpetrators, right?
Yeah.
That get involved and have scams of, you know, whether it's fake accidents or fake slips and falls, typical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not, you know, again, technology is helping that fraud get mm-hmm. get worse, if that's the right term, that's up for debate. You know, I think in every entity or every service, whatever, there's always fraud.
Yeah.
It's just how dedicated is the user or the government to stamp out fraud, and how much does it cost mm-hmm. to get fraud down?
Yeah.
So then, therefore, your regular auto policy comes down.
Right, right. So that the good user, the honest people, don't have to pay for what's going on.
Correct.
Which, that's a reality of business.
It is, yeah. And you know, the driving cost again of premiums, whether it's the auto or it's the house, is replacement parts, right? And then it's and again in the contractor space, again, you know, we haven't had, you know, kids coming out of high school going right into BOCES. Thankfully, now they're starting that back up again. But you know, the trades, you've got to wait. So if you have a house fire, you're waiting. I had a couple of years ago, I had a person that was, I think it took him like a year and a half to get back in the house, just because, again, supply chain information, you know, or mm-hmm. disruption, but also, again, local contractors just and all the different trades. So all of that drives up the cost.
Especially if there's a specific incident like the storms.
Yeah.
Because then there's a lot of people that have claims out and are looking, all fighting over the same contractors to take the jobs.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, and that's, you know, that's a plug, at least a plug for, again, the younger generation coming behind is to get in the trades.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we just mm-hmm. need more. And again, I don't think AI is going to take that over because you still have to have someone operating.
Certain jobs.
And all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we need to, again, have that next generation really get, and whether it's SUNY ACC or whether it's BOCES, yeah. Right? That is going to start that. I mean, they're back in business, right? And they're moving forward on that. So I think that's exciting myself.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Exactly. So it's an interesting, the whole sideline of the trades industry, how it impacts the insurance industry, right?
Most definitely.
I think all the industries really impact each other, and we don't always think of that enough.
Correct. Right.
So let's talk then about your business partner. I'm not sure how involved he is in it. So this all, when I first heard about this, it was the big announcement was Mark Shaw and Kevin O'Brien are teaming up.
Yes.
So why Mark Shaw? Why StoreTech?
So again, Mark is always an entrepreneur, right? And has his hands and fingers in a lot of different industries. Mm-hmm. So he had always, you know, over the years, him and I had talked at least two or three times that he wanted to start up, you know, and get involved in insurance. Again, had the opportunity back in 23 and we are partnering and you know, we talk every week, right? And he helps me, you know, get into business. He's got a lot of contacts.
Yeah.
And again, he has given me, you know, more tools that if I was on my own, I wouldn't have, right? So, and he's given insight as to what's coming down the road on technology. It's a great partnership. We, you know, collaborate very well. I have good ideas. He has great ideas. And the ultimate is that we basically, again, we just want the client experience to be, you know, the gold seal, right?
Yeah.
That again, we remove a lot of the, paperwork that was done in the 80s and 90s, right? Of going back and forth and all that kind of good stuff. Now we just have, we have apps that we can send or again, you know, the DocuSign, there's all sorts of different tools out there that, again, allow the cooperation, but also the relationship with the client, or even the, you know, and the other side of that is with the insurance carrier, because as an independent agent, I go to those six or seven carriers and, you know, I remember back in the day of faxing everything in. Well, now you've got, you know, there's all sorts of different.
Every once in a while, you'll see a fax number on something and you're like, who's faxing?
Correct. And it's interesting because again, like in health claims, you know, if you don't have a controlled portal, faxing is the way to go, right? Because I haven't
So there are fax machines places?
Yes. I mean, I have a carrier that requires to be faxing because they're saying that is a controlled environment.
True.
So, you know, if you don't have a lockdown portal that I can zoom in and there's a social security number on there, you know, I don't want to be called out on that.
Yeah.
Right. So fax is definitely in vogue.
So one of my clients, I'm doing a security audit and it came up that if they did not have certain security measures in place, their insurance would not cover.
Correct. Yes.
So what are things like that surprise people?
Yeah. And so what that is each insurance carrier, right? They've got the contract. They made the contracts. So me as the agent and you as the client, again, don't really have control over that. So what that's saying, again, is that so if it's XYZ insurance carrier that you have, they don't like that risk. So now we have to move you over to ABC. So there are carriers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get insurance for anything, right? For your nuclear lab, you can get an insurance.
You may have to pay
a couple million dollars, but that is the insurance risk model works, right? You're with one company and you've been with them for 5 years and this is what you told them your activities are doing.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, when you're auto insurance, you know, these are the drivers. Well, now my kids are the drivers.
Yeah.
So there are some cameras saying, we're not in that. So now we have to move you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty.
They don't always say no, but they might give you a really high premium.
Or because again, the experience when you look at it, it's been this way for 40 years is, you know, the average driver under 18, you know, under 19 or 20 years old, has one or two accidents, they're little fender benders and all that kind of stuff. And so therefore, you know, there's are ways to decrease that. If the driver gets a defensive driving course, if you bundle all this stuff together, right. And home and auto, the more policies, it's just the cafeteria style, the more policies you're going to, each policy will get, you know, a discount on there. But again, there are just some carriers that have that finite appetite. And so when you go a little bit outside that appetite, they're going to sting you with a, you know, a $200, maybe even a $1,000 increase. That's your time that then is to go to, again, an independent agent that could look for, you know, same coverages, maybe different pricing, or they could come back and say, no, that's it. You're good.
Yeah.
Because remember, that at the end of the time, the stockholders want their dividends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
it's a commercial entity.
It is.
It's not a nonprofit. It's correct. Not a social service.
No, definitely not. And there are some insurance carriers that are filed in such a way that as a policyholder, you get a dividend back.
Yeah.
If
the, really?
Oh, yes. If you, in New York State, mm-hmm. there's a couple of them. And if your loss ratios or your losses haven't happened, then the board of directors will declare, okay, let's give a $100 dividend back.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I've never seen that myself.
Exactly. There's few and far between. You know, there a lot of that's in the agricultural market.
Okay.
There's certain classifications that, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, not too many general public, you know, carriers have mm-hmm. that. But again, it's out there and you just got to have the right agent to mm-hmm. help you find that. Mm-hmm.
So the benefit of an agency
is
that you've got a few different companies that you can then look at the differences and what best suits that client.
Yes. Yeah. It's the independent agent mm-hmm. model has always been as the agent, you know, I'm representing the client, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore I'm taking you around, you know, in speed dating and I'm introducing you to new underwriters, right?
Yeah.
And that way they're looking at your risk profile. And also, okay, what are the coverages you need? Do you need to have that treehouse covered, right? Do you need to have that pool covered? Well, if you take the diving board off, boom, you're going to win,
mm-hmm.
right?
When my kids were little, it was all about the trampoline.
Yes, yes.
Because people were like, we can't have a trampoline. We can't afford the extra insurance.
Yes.
So it was like, oh, wow.
Yes,
like,
and that continues to happen.
And if you try to get by without having the extra insurance and get found out.
Yes. Yes. Then they'll non-renew and all that kind of stuff. But it's interesting because again, that, you know, it's almost like pickleball now, right? Because when those trampolines came out, every kid was in the ER.
All those pickleball accidents.
Now all those pickleball people are in the ER, right? And again, they're gray like me and all that kind of stuff. So it's the same analogy, right?
That is so funny.
Correct. And so I don't know if health insurance carriers are looking at pickleball.
If you play pickleball,
right,
you're going to get an extra premium.
Could be.
Wow.
Exactly, yes.
That's so funny.
So that's a wonderful world. I mean, that's why insurance is so, you know, it's mm-hmm. transparent, but it's also mobile because it affects, you know, whether it's your personal, you know, insurance needs or it's your commercial or it's your health or your business. We're there all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the key thing is you just need to find the right person that will help you maneuver and migrate through, you know, the different insurance carriers.
Yes.
Right. And rates have gone up. Yes, it's rebuilding cost. Yes, it's lack of contractors. So that's there.
Mm-hmm.
But also in New York State, we've had some insurance carriers leave the state
mm-hmm.
because again, they wrote some risks that they weren't pricing properly for.
Okay.
And the board of directors slapped them and said,
mm-hmm.
okay, we don't want New York State anymore. So go over to Pennsylvania and, mm-hmm. and you know, do better in Ohio, that kind of good stuff.
Okay.
I don't say it was the bad insurance, you know, insurance carrier.
Yeah.
It's just, again, people want to make money. They need to make money.
Yes.
Right.
Right. If they're not making money, they're not going to be covering you well.
Correct.
You know, that's
right. They'll go out of business and the stockholders will be very upset because they won't have that stock any longer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that's the reality people have to have. Like when you complain about getting charged for little things here and there, there's usually a reason for it.
Yes.
It's not like extortion.
No.
It's like cost of doing business and the consumer needs to pay for that. It's just a reality.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's just the way you package it and tell people.
Correct.
Too.
It's it's all like, about, all about the communication.
Transparency.
Yes. And
being upfront.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
And just, you know, looking them over and just saying, okay, well, look, at this point in time, I really would like to write you, but, you know, my expertise is telling me
mm-hmm.
that you should stay where you are. I know you don't like that situation
yeah.
with XYZ, but if you leave and you move, there could be a higher cost to that. Because remember, especially in personal auto insurance, they're looking at, they can look at your motor vehicle record. They can look at your loss history. It's all out there in the cloud, and it follows you for at least 3 to 4 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you get somebody that's going to take those losses, those claims, they may be new to New York State, a new insurance carrier coming in. Eventually, you know, they're not going to make their numbers. Their stockholders are going to be upset, and they'll flee the state.
Yeah.
So we always want to have stability in the marketplace that we can take some different risks and spread them out. I mean, that's realistically what it is.
That's kind of what insurance is.
Yes. Spreading the risk, right? And just remember that, you know, you've got your regular, you know, Allstate, Travelers, all that kind of good stuff, those carriers. But on top of that, at certain levels, Travelers doesn't reach into their pocket for every claim. Mm-hmm. They go to the reinsurance market, which is the insurance carrier of the insurance carrier, right? And so that market up there and definitely, you know, dictates the rates, and it all falls right down to.
So who insures the insurance carrier's insurance carrier?
There's a third level up there. There definitely, and that would be probably Lloyd's of London.
The big bank.
Yeah. And again, I mean, you know, and you mentioned government insurance. I mean, government insurance, that comes into play. And again, business people will see that on their commercial policy where there's a terrorism coverage, right, that you can either elect to have or you can't. And that came out of 9/11. So that's where the government comes into.
Can you imagine being an insurance agent down at that time?
No.
Or even like people are struggling in LA with all the wildfires.
Correct.
And how much damage and the extent of damage.
Yes.
Finding people to help you rebuild and
And you know, up until probably a couple of years ago, you know, that's a great point, where there's Texas, Florida, you know, California, Midwest, whatever, the way that the insurance world works is, again, State Farm, Travelers, all the big companies, they're in all those states. And so it typically what happens is the state that they're in can take care of all those losses. But when you have Florida, or more importantly, when you have California that just continues to have that year after year, then to afford rates in California, you then have to go to Nevada and pull that in, which then means, because it's been a couple of years, but there's been, again, some of those big carriers that have to pull and increase rates in other states, right? Which has never been the model. That's not, you know, and so they're readjusting the model. Definitely, because, again, they want to have everything be state specific that falls into the regulations and all that.
Very interesting. So I've learned a lot about insurance today that I did not.
The wonderful world of insurance, right?
It's worth having a conversation.
It is definitely worth, you know, a cup of coffee or something, you know, to that point. And again, you know, especially in business insurance, there's more opportunities for, you know, getting the right carrier and the right insurance agent to match your risks with the right pricing, right? Yeah. And again, you know, I'll call it the vacuum of again, what I talked about before, where there's a 4 or 5 or 6 family agencies that retired and then sold out. Mm-hmm. It's just, again, if you're into the internet and you want to talk to somebody, you want to get that policy, fine. Mm-hmm. But majority of Adirondack people want to have a face-to-face, because when the claim hits, and years ago, I always say, if you had a claim, but now it's just when the claim hits, you want to talk to your insurance agent. Because again, it happens all the time where they have a minor fender bender, right? And hit a deer, whatever like that, or just bump into a fire hydrant. And so the first thing they do is, I got to report this. Well, I always say, look, just give me a call. Right. Because I want to size it up.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to have you do is get an estimate. Right. Because do you want to pay this out of your pocket, or do you want to, again, have the carrier pay it?
Right. So it might be worth paying out of pocket.
Yes.
If it's certain levels.
Yes.
And you'd be a good person to discuss that with before you make a claim.
Yes. Yep. And same thing I do with again, homeowner businesses or again, businesses
Yeah.
where they have claims. again, yes, you've got a leaky roof. It's, you know, it's ice dam this winter. A lot of stuff that happened. I get it. Just have someone go up there, a roofer, and knock the ice off, put some blue tarps on. And then in the springtime, in you know, April or whenever, we can look at what is the estimate to fix that, right? And again, depending on your deductible and pricing, you may want to just pay that yourself, right? Because again, the way, at least in New York State right now, because of, again, other carriers that have left, right? So it's, you know, it's the competition. So when you lose four or five carriers and there's only 20 rather than 30 or 25 left, the competition just doesn't matter or doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that's why, again, reporting claims these days, you definitely want to talk to your agent, not so much the carrier. I love the carriers, but again, I want you to talk to your agent because you want to have that conversation of, okay, hey, sorry, you know, just okay, someone hit you. I get it. It was parked in Hannaford. I get that. But understand that 2 years ago, the deer hit you, because remember, you never hit the animal. Right? The animal always hits you. That's the insurance language.
Yes.
Okay? Animal always hits you. But anyways, if you have something...
Like the fire hydrant hits you?
Yeah, we could go with that. But, you know, when you had something and then 2 or 3 years later, you have another one that is, you know, again, you know, moldy or something like that, you just want to have, you know, a talk with your agent.
Yes.
Just to make sure that you know, when you have, you know, two things... that's going to get the attention of the underwriter. Because again, in New York State, for at least the last 20 years, and probably going to be more, but the average driver has one incident that could be a stop sign ticket. It could be a DWI. It could be a deer. One incident every 7 years.
Okay.
So if you're, you know, you got two or you got three in 7 years, the underwriter's looking at it and say, oh, I'm in New York. That doesn't make sense.
That's because, a bit more than the average.
Yes. Yep. And more importantly, the premium going to charge you has not been by the actuary, right, that comes up with that, has not been justified.
Yes.
So that's why, again, it's the agent. And like we talked about earlier, you know, when you're in small business, you've got your attorney, you've got your accountant, you need to have, again, HR person and the insurance person. That's your team so that you can run your business and not worry about the back room.
Okay. Now, that's a good segue then to talking a little bit about business. So you've been successfully in business. You have many honors. I'm not going to list them all off. Look in the show notes for that. But including the Walter Junket was a very high honor from our esteemed Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, that was a shared one. That was John, my brother John, and I. We got
Nice.
And Tom Murphy was the roaster of that.
Okay. Roaster.
Yes, that was it. Was a classic one. So I'm sure it's taped someplace, but it's
look it up.
Yeah, because it's definitely not
a link to it.
It's not the ones that you've seen probably in the last 6 years.
Okay,
it's just a total different one. So.
I'm newish to the area. I've been here eight years, so that was before my time here in this area. But so you probably have a lot of good advice. So how would you advise? Like you said, you're involved in ADK Startup, which is a very good program at SUNY Adirondack for people starting their own business.
Yes.
So what kind of advice do you give to someone that's thinking about starting a business or new into starting a business?
Yeah. And it's, again, you got to have the passion, right? And more importantly, you know, there's always the you got to be very, very good at time management, especially if it's me, right?
Yes.
I talk to myself three different ways every day, but you know, you got to have passion to do it. You got to really, really nails down these days your time, right?
Yes.
And you're going to, and it's going to take probably a good, you know, I would say any business these days is going to be at least 2 to 4 years before you don't have the pain any longer.
And it's hard to be patient through that.
It is. It is. And you know, how you do that is do you do another job? Do you do a sidekick or whatever like that kind of stuff? And just, you know, do that. But back to your question is again, having the right team supporting it. Yes, it's your family because they need to, you know, you need to make sure that they're on ball with this, but also reaching out to, again, that attorney, accountant, the insurance person, and the HR person. And mm-hmm. that's just a cup of coffee at Spot Coffee or something, or Crew Coffee, that's there just saying, hey, here's what I'm bouncing off. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, through the chamber, they have a lot of tools. Right. They can have some advisors help you go through that. These days, again, I think with technology, if you can find a really super niche.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. That then I think you're in your silo and you're able to drive mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. that, you know, the economic piece of that. But again, it's just, you know, you get your business plan, chamber approves that, all that kind of good stuff. You get some consultants helping you with that. Yeah. Then it's just matter of, okay, answering the phone, right? Answer the phone, return phone calls, mm-hmm. especially in the Adirondacks and Glen Falls, New York. That is the kicker. You need to do that. And on top of that, just get out. And like in my calendar, I have 2 days where, you know, the second half of the day, it's prospecting and you're just mm-hmm. knocking on doors.
So you allocate time prospecting.
Yes.
And it includes literally knocking on
yes.
doors?
Yes.
Because I've heard other people say that. Just go in there.
Yes. Yes. That is coming back.
So do you go down to Glen Street?
Yeah, I'll just stand in the middle of Glen Street. I'll yell my name and some people come and talk to me. But no, it's just, I mean, I've got clients that I've had.
Yes.
Now I'm coming back to them. So going up to Chestertown, going to Plattsburgh, mm-hmm. going.
Retaining clients is probably the best selling tool.
Oh, it is.
Right?
Yes.
That's, you know, it's the easiest to retain your clients. But it's important because you, insurance especially.
Yes.
Because people think, oh, I might get a better price somewhere else. But you got to keep that relationship.
Yeah. And again, that's where the technology comes in, because I have, you know, set up, again, some tools that will, you know, hit you probably 4 times a month with, hey, do you know about this? Do you know about that? And, you know, again, when the renewal time comes up, I'm reaching out to them to say, hey, look, renewal's coming up. And, you know, have you changed, you know, have you added in a pool?
Because people forget these things.
Correct. And more importantly, in your business, have you grown? Because most of the business policies, the commercial business policies, mm-hmm. a lot of them, especially workers' comp, they, you know, you start a policy and you are estimating what your sales are going to be and what your payroll. So then there are some underwriters that want to then, after your first year, they want to look back to mm-hmm. say, okay, you said you were going to make $100 and, you know, you're going to pay $5 in salary. So what'd you do? So they open up the QuickBooks and they say, oh, geez, you made $200 and your payroll is $10.
Yeah.
Well, now we need to claw back the money that we insured you at and covered you at. So that audit process, again, a lot of carriers send the audit forms and all that kind of stuff to the client, which is fine. But again, Kevin O'Brien,
they're like, what is this pack of papers?
Correct.
Well, I really need to look at it.
Right. And that's the conversation I have with the client by saying, look, you know, we can get together, we can talk through this mojo, whatever that, you know, term is, and we can get you through that.
Yeah.
Right. And that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. again, that's just the benefit mm-hmm. of having an independent agent going.
But it's a good example of, and it just happens that insurance, because you've got renewals, it's a good excuse to get in touch with existing clients. Yes. But if you don't have that type of business, you've got to find other ways to get, so pick up the phone or stop by and say hi. And doing.
I mean, if you want to get in, you know, if you want to get into the trades, if you want to be a sheetrocker, right? Mm-hmm. Again, you do OCs, you whatever, and then you mm-hmm. you get into chamber, but also maybe there's unions, or again, you're mm-hmm. knowing people. You're mm-hmm. going to Curtis Lumber, you're going to Lowe's and hanging out there, and you're talking to contractors that are always looking. Again, they're always mm-hmm. looking for help.
Yes,
right. They can never. Yeah. You know, get enough is really realistically mm-hmm. what it is. And we have some really good, you know, contractors, Hilltop right up the street. I mean, you know, they have a really good model of bringing and onboarding their employees.
Well, like partnership, we're talking about partnerships. Like you made a partnership with Mark Shaw to start up this company, looking at other partnerships to help grow your business. And they're not necessarily a business partner.
Correct.
but there's someone that you're aligned with that you can help their clients, they can help your clients.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And you know, part of that is the score process that you know, the chamber has, where which again helps the startups.
Yes.
But no, definitely, you know, and I always say it's just the Adirondacks, but I'm sure in other states that again, people to people conversations, right? And and we all know that in our circle of influence, we're only like two circles away from knowing the person that we really should know to help us do that, right? And so it's just getting out there, putting yourself out there, right? Having the confidence of saying, okay, yep, I had three doors, you know, slapped in my face today, but I've got two that they want me to come back next week.
Yes.
Right. And that's, again, that's just the way the process works.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, back to insurance, you see all the commercials for Geico and Progressive and all that and Liberty Mutual. And those are, you know, those are, again, attractive. But when you go to them directly, you know, again, they have their script. Yeah. Right. And they're not always explaining what the coverages are and what New York State wants and that kind of
thing. And they're not shopping around.
No. No, they're just doing
one. Where you shop around.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's providing a good service, which is very important in business.
Yeah, definitely.
So also, you're very community minded. Now, I had the privilege of speaking with, do you know Colleen Carlson? She's the sales director at Saratoga Casino Hotel.
Yeah, no, I haven't. No.
She's a sales director.
Yeah.
And she's like, all of my sales is done through all my charitable and community work that I do. So she's very community minded, and that's her sales trick.
Yes. Yes.
But it's just her life. It's what drives her.
Right.
And she's, like I said, she's genuinely very community minded, and it's worked really well for her.
Yes.
So you're involved on boards, you're involved in a lot of different community organizations. So how has that driven you and helped you with business?
Yeah, no, it's again, it's when I started a long time ago with the local United Way, it was just to get out, right? And again, talk to other people and understand what the whole nonprofit scene is all about. And so from there, you know, been, as you said, a lot of different boards and that kind of stuff, but really you know, the model for nonprofits is you have the director, right? That is the leader, and they know what the nonprofit mission is. They then come to the community to find out, okay, who's good in marketing, who's good in fundraising, who's good in, you know, balancing a book and all that, you know, checkbook and all that kind of good stuff. So that's the beauty. And you know, the boards that I've been on, if everybody stays in their lane, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the director does the tree hugging and they know their mission.
Right.
Right. And if the board members understand, good, bad, or different, that they're not to be in that lane, then it's happening.
Were you at the symposium last week?
No.
No, because it was all about that.
I saw about it because I tried to get there,
I did a write-up on it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And it was all about that.
It was.
Knowing your role.
Yes.
And it's different depending on the organization. Yeah, so that's interesting that you reiterate that.
It is because, again, there was way back in the day, prior to SUNY ACC, I remember going there and we walked into the student center and it was put on by ACC at the time. And basically you went in and there were two rooms. And so executive directors, right, for nonprofits went to the right, and to the left were all the board members.
Mm-hmm.
And for 4 or 5 hours, they just told us, those two different camps told us, here's what nonprofit's about. Mm-hmm. Stay in your lane. And so again, good, bad, or different, and you know, a lot of volunteers have great ideas, but again, when you jump over the lane, that double yellow line, the cops are coming.
But you need clarity on what your lane is.
Yes.
What your role is and what your expectations
are. And that's again, you know, actually, and it's tough these days because of, I just remember, you know, going back to AZC, that, you know, a lot of professional business people, whether it's bankers or lawyers, whatever, back in the 80s, you know, there were programs up there that we could go to, right? And you know, fashion our skills and all that kind of good stuff. And again, I don't think that's there. I don't, you know, because it's there's not enough people coming back into the nonprofits.
That's a struggle now.
And I understand that because again, you know, in the family setting right now, you have two breadwinners, and out of that, there are probably 2.5 salaries, and you don't have time. So you don't have time to,
yeah.
and with kids. So there's a, mm-hmm. you know, the nonprofit space there is getting tougher and tougher. But certain times when you maybe, when you get into your late 30s and 40s, then you have the time,
yeah.
right, to spend and
right. give the back. Kids are older.
Yes. Yep. And you, and the whole idea, right. again, at least up here, is you're giving back to the community in, yeah. in whatever way. And that mm-hmm. could be your skill set, or it could be, is what, you know, we're alluding to is, hey, I know I got a guy, no, I got a gal that can help yeah. this board do something.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's the reach that at least in this area that we're in, the Tri-County mm-hmm. area, you know, businesses are for doing donations, whether mm-hmm. it's money or services or just their people, right? And that's the beauty of it. But, you know, again, yes, I've been on an awful lot of boards and stick with, you know, with them as much mm-hmm. as I can afford the mm-hmm. time. And again, it's you know, my from my dad, I mean, he was on board, so it was almost just following what okay. they did back
yeah.
in the 60s
I guess
and
it 70s. Does make sense that yes. if you grew up in that, and your yeah. parents led.
Yes. In that culture that they set back yeah. in the 70s, right? That's continued on.
Yeah.
And so, and again, there's just a lot of, you know, one of the things I remember a long time ago with Postar, they always did, you know, surveys and all that kind of stuff. And they never surveyed from an economic standpoint what the nonprofits bring to this economy.
Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. they bring an awful lot. Mm-hmm. So now, and probably in the last 15 to 20 years, the nonprofits are being looked at.
Yeah.
No doubt about mm-hmm. that. And again, from an economic standpoint.
Because events seem to be a very big thing for all the nonprofits.
Yes. Yeah. And again, it's yeah. it's a revenue generator, you know, so there's payroll, mm-hmm. there's taxes that yeah. come out of that, all that kind of good stuff. And that goes to the local economy. So, again, I ask anybody for, you know, your time, whether you're mm-hmm. retired or whether you're, you know, whether you're working, just look at up the nonprofits and get involved because, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, will you get some financial gain out of that? Yes. But it's not the true financial gain because it'll probably be a second wave off the yeah. board or something like that
yeah.
that'll come in. Because, well, again, I've been asked many times to, you know, cover and have insurance for, you know, the boards I'm on. I'm like, mm-hmm. that's too controversial.
Not your thing.
No.
Yeah.
No, because
too closely tied.
It is. And, it is because, you know, I'm on.
But it's the connections
boards.
That you make.
Oh,
and personally
most
fulfilling. Like, yeah. like I said, I did it as a segue, as a business type thing.
Yes.
But really, it's about building the community and contributing to the overall community.
Yes.
And I
oh.
think that's one of the things I love about the chambers that I'm yes. involved with. They're very community minded, very supportive of the nonprofit.
Yes.
Like the ARCC has
yeah,
count, and it's quite active.
Yes.
And there's quite significant membership.
Yes.
But you could see from that event.
Yes.
Like, I think it was the first. No, I wasn't the first event that I went to with that council.
Yep.
But that event in itself was quite impressive.
Yes. And then there's very good people in there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, on skill sets and just economically, you know, as again, highlighting that whole nonprofit is really a big part of our economics.
It really is.
Right. And,
really
and
is.
A lot of people forget that. So every now and then you just got to bring it back
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
And that's what the chamber's doing.
Yeah.
Because we need them. I mean, there's a social survey. You need that, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize that. And, like, you're involved in Open Door. We
yep.
were talking about that. Like, before I moved to this area, I didn't realize that homelessness or near to homelessness and food.
Yeah, food insecurity.
Poverty, food insecurity
yes.
is huge.
Yes.
Here.
Yes. Almost.
And you see so much of it now.
Yes.
I don't know if it's post-COVID or just that the fact that it's, you know, but so these services are greatly needed. And you're involved
yes.
in United Way. Tri-County United Way is a great organization.
Yep.
And
yep.
I've met Laura Jensen.
Yep.
I interviewed her at the Women in Business
oh, nice.
A few weeks ago. And I posted it soon as I could because she had events coming up. They're small, full-time you know, two or three full-time employees, but they do a lot with their volunteers.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they need those volunteers.
Yeah. And you know, right now at this time, it's somewhat coming up to, you know, end here on April 15th, but they do, I mean, I've been involved for a number of years into the VITA program, which is Volunteer Income Tax Assistance.
Yes.
So that's a free service where anybody can get a free tax return, both state and federal. I think this year the cap on the income is $70,000. So it's a great, again, I've done it. You get a real good kick out of it. And again, it's a lot of it. Yeah, you're talking to the client because you're going through all their different documents, but also it's, you know, you're helping them understand, you know, why is there a payment due, or why is you're getting this big?
Because you've got the skills. And I think that's the thing about community service is you're bringing the skills that you've developed throughout your career to people that really need it and can make a difference.
Correct. Right. And again, it's a balance, especially in the family life. It's a balance of whether or not, you know, you can spend 2 hours a week with different nonprofits, or again, is just in the family life right now, you just can't because each child is less than 10 years old, right? And that kind of stuff. So it comes around. I mean, there's been a number of people that I've always engaged at boards or Rotary or whatever like that, that they come on and they're good and they want to do it. And then, you know, again, something gets in the way and, you know, you just say, that's fine. You know, I've been through that.
Sometimes you got to say no.
Correct. And you know, if you want to come back in 2 years, that's fine. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And the one big, you know, taboo that I've always, you know, talked about, and that is especially with nonprofits, is that when you have an event, right, and you know, you're the leader of the event and all that kind of stuff, you put it together, you know, and then you're saying, oh, geez, I need 10 volunteers. Right. And you have the staff, and then you have volunteers, and you have board members. The one thing you always want to keep in mind is when you invite those volunteers in and say 9 of them, or even say 12 of them, you look for 10 and 12 come, you never turn them away. Never. Mm-hmm. Right. You take one of the board members and they do something else, but you know, you don't have a volunteer come on a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and say, oh, geez, sorry, but, you know, we don't need you now.
No, there's always something to do.
That is the worst thing that any, you know, nonprofit can do.
Yep. So the volunteers are important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have any other wisdom to impart on us today?
Lots of different things, but no, it's just, again, I mean, getting back, you know, the three stools that I always go on is again, on the business life, in the business we've all talked about, just again, you know, get the right insurance person, right? And, you know, stick with them. Yes, there'll be ups and downs along the way, but as long as there's a great relationship, right? And making sure that, again, in these days, you know, everybody's got to return phone calls, right? And yes, everybody loves to do email. That's always, you know, when you do an email.
Yeah, I'm bad at phone calls.
Yeah, you sort of hide behind what the question really is, right? And again, so you, and I know it's, you know, I mean, I do phone calls on Saturday nights, Sunday nights, Monday morning. I'm just because, again, for me, insurance is 24/7 because, again, a house could or a fire could happen, something like that. A hack could happen. So, you know, that's one of the stools. And then, you know, giving back, that's the whole nonprofit piece, right? And then, you know, the third one is just, you know, we're not in control. There's someone above us that is already has it all planned out. Mm-hmm. So don't mentally go and try and manage that or fix that, right? It's just, again, it's the way things happen. Mm-hmm. And if you just sit back and let it happen, most people, you know, not so much profit for that, but it just have a good feeling.
That's a good feeling.
So, yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
That's most excellent advice. Yes.
These conversations often begin as feature articles for the Saratoga and Glens Falls Business Journals. We've partnered with them to turn those printed insights into broadcast quality authority assets, allowing you to hear the person behind the business in their own words. Thank you for listening to Building Success Stories, a production of the North Country Media Network. Our mission is to document the professional legacies and success stories that drive our region forward. To discover more shows in our network,
or to learn how we can help you own the conversation in your industry, visit us online at northcountry.media. I'm Ann Donnelly, and until next time, keep building your success story.